The Center for Civil and Human Rights and ESPN have partnered on an exhibit that debuts in Atlanta this month. It's called Breaking Barriers, Sports for Change. It's about moments when sports led to meaningful social change. Athletes and political leaders like Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, and Nelson Mandela are featured in that display. Political sports writer Dave Zirin covers exactly this topic. He is the sports editor for The Nation. Welcome back, Dave.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Kevin Martinez. He's the Vice President of Corporate Citizenship for ESPN. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Dave, what is the sort of defining measure when we call an athlete an activist? How do you know when that happens?
Well, I think we know it happens when an athlete, first of all, is reflecting very real social movements that are taking place off the field. Like, it's not enough for an athlete to have a political consciousness and speak out about a particular issue. It has to be something that is in some way, shape, or form organically connected to a real social shift, which I think is why we can't really speak about the early years of the civil rights movement without talking about Jackie Robinson, or the 1960s without speaking about Muhammad Ali, or the women's movement of the early 70s without speaking about Billie Jean King. And in future decades, when we speak about this era of the Black Lives Matter movement, we will speak about Colin Kaepernick and all of the young people who are taking a knee during the anthem. I mean, that organic connection is very important for us to understand, first of all, when the movement is big enough to reflect itself on the athletic field, and then when that sort of visibility on the athletic field ricochets back into the real world.
Okay, so Kevin, Dave just mentioned, among others, Jackie Robinson, Georgia native, first black player in Major League Baseball. He's featured in the exhibit. Let's hear a little bit of Robinson talking about one particular trip he took to Atlanta.
On the field for the first time in Atlanta, there were Negroes and whites, other Negroes besides me, and I thought that imperfections are human, but that wherever human beings were given room to breathe and time to think, those imperfections would disappear no matter how slowly.
Now, before I get your response, I want to also listen to filmmaker Ken Burns. I spoke with him about the release of his documentary on Jackie Robinson, and here's what he had to say about Robinson's career.
That's where Jackie's heroism is made, is that being the first African-American in the modern age to sort of, break down a barrier. You can't even imagine the full extent of the opprobrium that was heaped on him, of the slights and slurs and abuse that he would face.
So, Kevin, I think Jackie Robinson is an interesting example because he was specifically instructed not to take political positions for at least the first many years of his career. He was an activist but was silent. How do we evaluate Jackie Robinson's activism?
Well, you know, I think it's important to realize that, you know, the exhibit that we've created with the Center for Civil and Human Rights it's got two particular directions. One is to show that civil rights is linked with human rights. And the second is that there is the ability to tell the story so that people will understand what happened from a legacy position to currently. So to your question, you know, Jackie Robinson was at a point in time where he had many barriers to entry, and that there were very few people that actually supported him, except for some of the leadership in his league team, but also there was a turning point that was happening in society at that time. Many would say that discussion was never finished, and you're seeing now a representation of that. But if you do not have a good comparative, let's just say Tommy Smith at the 1968 Olympics raising his hand in a fist, and the exhibit will show you it's not just the fist, it's what he wore. There's other elements of it. There's a deeper, richer story. How is that similar to what Colin Kaepernick is doing? And the idea is to, ESPN's not going to advocate specifically, but it's going to tell you that there's a story here, and the Civil for Human Rights is building that story to show you how they are inalienably linked.
So then, since you mentioned John Carlos and Tommy Smith, I spoke with them both earlier. I asked John Carlos about actually a pretty large group of people who say athletes should stay away from activism and stick with their own sport.
John, that's a stupid statement. That's a stupid statement. That's the same stupid-ass statement that they made 48 years ago. How do you tell an individual that you are suspended from society because you're an athlete? that you shouldn't have any concerns about the well-being of those individuals that you grew up with in your community. That's like telling a minister he's not supposed to go to church on Sunday.
So, Dave, what do you think of this comment that is often heard, especially recently with Colin Kaepernick, that this field is not the right place to make a political statement?
Well, political statements only have an impact when they're done in spaces that are not the right place. And that's part of the point. I mean, do we want people to fight for social change or not? And if we want people to fight for social change, if we think that's a part of citizenship, then we also have to accept that they're often going to happen in uncomfortable spaces. That's part of protest. It's part of the long tradition of protest. And I think any other analysis of it is if not a misread, even as far as a whitewash or a warping of the actual history of where change comes from. I see this often in how civil rights history is taught, as if the demonstrations and actions in the civil rights movement were just about getting the largest possible gathering of people to march to a place and then just stand around, thousands and thousands of people to bear moral witness, as if there weren't, you know, boycotts, occupations, sit-ins, all sorts of things that made things inconvenient for the majority, for the mainstream, and really forcing them to confront issues that they otherwise wouldn't have to confront. I mean, to me, what Colin Kaepernick and other people who are taking a knee during the anthem, to use that example, what they're doing, I mean, is absolutely in that tradition, because it's forcing people who don't have to think about issues like police violence or accountability. It's forcing them to have to confront it. Sometimes they confront it in a way that's very reactionary, saying, you know, get out of here. This is my field. This is my space. But even if it reaches a small percentage of people to have to think and say, well, wait a minute, why is this a wealthy pro athlete who seems to have everything going for him? Why is he taking this risk? Why is he inviting this kind of hatred? Then it's worth it. And that really is where change comes from.
We would love to hear from our listeners. How important is sports when it comes to social change or justice movements? You can tweet us at OSD Talk or join the conversation on Facebook. My guest is political sports writer Dave Zirin, probably the only person, Dave, in the country with that title, and ESPN's Kevin Martinez. We're talking about a new exhibit that displays the intersection between sports and social change. And where does ESPN fall on this, Kevin? Because it has been controversial in some places. The Minnesota Lynx WNBA team, over the summer, four players stood in front of the press before the game started wearing black shirts that on the front said, "Change starts with us, justice and accountability." On the back were the names of victims of police shootings. Is ESPN necessarily encouraging athletes to take political stands?
No, we're not encouraging anybody to do anything. Our job, much like yours, is to cover the news.
Yeah.
It is on the field to play, or you know, in the locker room, or at the press conference. And if that is a dialogue that happens, which it is happening more frequently than ever, then it's our responsibility to cover it to serve the sports fan. It's also important to say that you know we really need to make sure that we are. We understand the dialogue, right? So it is important that from a race relations element that we clearly understand the particular issues. 65% to 68% of athletes are minority, African-American, Hispanic. That's a large population of the people that are actually doing the work, going to work every day, and actually playing sports. But the other piece of it is to really demonstrate that there's clarity in the conversation. Our job is not to take a position, but, you know, appropriately so, once we show Colin on his knee, is there a continued conversation? And the fact is right now, probably due to the election and other things, but Black Lives Matter and the certain violence against African Americans, there certainly is a reason to continue that conversation.
Let's hear a comment from South African leader Nelson Mandela. Here he is talking about the power of sports and sports figures.
Sport has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire. It has the power to unite people in a way that little us does. It is more powerful than governments in breaking down racial barriers.
So, Dave, how are we to evaluate, say, Colin Kaepernick's stance? He's certainly not the only athlete taking a stance right now. Serena Williams has spoken out, and others as well. But has his protest been effective, to your mind?
Yeah, it's been effective because it's been qualitatively different from what we've seen in the preceding months. I mean, we have seen over the last couple of years a real shift in athletes speaking out on social issues, centrally the issue around Black Lives Matter. I mean, we saw that at the ESPY Awards, most famously with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul speaking out on the podium to start the awards. And what that represented really was a shift from athletes not speaking out at all to athletes saying, well, wait a minute, no, we actually have a responsibility to say something about the world. But if you looked at the content of what a lot of these athletes were saying, and once again, all respect to them for saying anything, because even that, as an athlete, holds risk. The content of it was, we have a role to be a bridge. We have a role to bring peace. We have a role to bring community members and police officers to the same table so we can work out our differences. You know, very much this idea of building a bridge, in the words of Doug Baldwin, wide receiver of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
But what Colin Kaepernick has represented is something different. He's represented the idea, much more in the tradition of Muhammad Ali, the idea of taking a side and saying, no, I'm not here to build a bridge. I'm here to say that there is a position that's wrong. And that position is that policing in this country somehow works. And I think this system needs fundamentally to be changed, to be dismantled, to be rebuilt, and to be a more just system. And I think that in and of itself, him speaking to that, and of course him doing it in the space of the anthem, which inherently says there's a gap between what this flag is supposed to represent and what it actually represents to people of color. I mean, that's electrified people. It's made people very angry.
Yeah.
And it's also inspired people to take part in these protests and to do something very similar. And so that's the part of it that I think is different. And honestly, even though it's upset a lot of people and it's polarized the question, it's also made it much more effective than just saying, we're here to build a bridge, we're here to sit down with police officers, we're here to be somehow this force of peace. And Colin Kaepernick is saying, you know, no justice, no peace.
So, Kevin, how did you make choices about which athletes to include? I want to play this comment from tennis star Billie Jean King. She, of course, defeated Bobby Riggs. It was a nationally televised match in 1973 that was called the Battle of the Sexes. So here she is speaking after that match.
Two things came out of that match. For women, self-confidence, empowerment. And for the men, a lot of the men today don't realize it, but if you're in your 50s, 60s, or whatever, late 40s, you're the first generation of men of the women's movement.
So, Kevin, how did you go about choosing which athletes to feature as activists and which not?
Well, first let me just say that the first thing is to find a partner that could help us and to advise and counsel us on the particular issues that existed both in civil and human rights. And the Center for Civil and Human Rights and Derek Kiongo and Doug Shipman at the time were people that I had worked with when I was the president of the Home Depot Foundation. And I have seen this jewel, this amazing facility, come to fruition. It is one of the most amazing storytelling museums that I have ever seen, and to be able to put civil and human rights together. So we asked them specifically, what are the issue constructs that we should be looking at? So you looked at LGBTQ, you looked at women's rights, you looked at race relations, you look at political, social, economic. So we created this matrix that said, here are the issues that exist in societal elements. Here are the things that are happened in sport historically. So let's give context to that. And then also let's look at currently what we believe are pulsing initiatives or pulsing issues. And then we created this matrix, because the other thing too is we didn't want to leave anybody out. We wanted to make sure that people could see themselves in this exhibit, but also that, as Nelson Mandela said, sports has the unique opportunity to bring people together as no other, organization, program does. So what we were able to do was to start with the big issues that existed from a legacy position with Billie Jean King and Equity for Women and LGBT with Martina Navratilova. But we also look at, keeping the tennis theme, we looked at, equal pay. And Venus Williams actually was the first person to write a letter saying, you guys, we need to be paid what everyone else is paid it, and that's also in the exhibit. But we also have this element like it is a full real-time, it's an organic exhibit as well, I should say, is that we're actually going to continue to build it out, such as Colin isn't in the story right now. We should probably put him in the story. People that have recently come out, you know, I think there was a recent person who came out from the Atlanta Dream, Angel, who just recently came out. We need to tell that story so that it's relative to what is currently happening. The idea, though, too, is that when you come in, you become your full self. You know, you see yourself coming into this exhibit, and then you can kind of locate the things that you know, the things that you don't know, and then at the very end of the exhibit, we show you how those two things kind of cross-functionally work.
Dave, we have about 30 seconds left, and I wonder if you feel like there has been a shift. Are we starting to see more sports figures take stands like this in recent years?
Oh, sure. Now, there's been a profound shift, and some of that has to do with social media, athletes feeling like they can speak directly to fans and to the public. Some of that has to do with the fact that there's been a very real movement off the field in terms of whether we're talking about Black Lives Matter, whether we're talking about LGBT athletes coming out, and so then athletes get inspired by that. And some of that has to do, I really do think, from my conversations with athletes, of just pressure from their community to say, hey, you have this role, you need to say something.
That is Dave Zirin. He's a political sports writer, sports editor for The Nation, and Kevin Martinez is the vice president of corporate citizenship for ESPN. You can hear more from Dave in his podcast, The Edge of Sports. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.